Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Latinos played an active role on the front lines and in supporting roles in the Second World War. The Voces Oral History Center at the University of Texas at Austin collected and preserved their stories. Voces has curated a traveling panel exhibit produced by Humanities Texas called Images of Valor, U.S. Latinos and Latinas of World War II. It's a historical overview of Latinos during the war, focusing on individual stories. The exhibit emphasizes the themes of citizenship and civil rights that emerged from their experiences. The exhibit is currently on display at the Mexican-American Civil Rights Institute in San Antonio. We had a chance to walk through the exhibit and visit with MACRI's executive director, Sarah Zenaida Gould.
So this is an exhibit that focuses on Latinos in Texas during World War II, and it covers everything from what was happening on the home front. And here we're really talking about Mexican Americans, just because we are talking about Texas in the 1940s. What was happening on the home front for Mexican Americans? What was happening when they went off to serve in World War II? And then what happened when they came back? How were they treated? What was the opportunity that military service provided to Mexican Americans? And how have they been recognized for that service? So it walks you through all of this, and it's a combination of quotes and stories from individuals as well as photographs. The photographs are both historical photographs, so black and white photos from the 40s, as well as photos that were taken more recently of the people who are telling their stories, and so they're sort of connecting the present day to the past so that they reflect on what that period of time meant to them and what were the outcomes. Because what we know is that Latinos who served in World War II served very bravely, and we have so many Latinos who came out highly decorated from World War II. But also, similar to the African American experience in World War II, we had Latinos who came back home and realized they put their life on the line. In some cases, were wounded, lost limbs, did all of that in service of their country. And when they came back home, they were still facing the same inequalities that they experienced before the war. And it pushed a lot of people into public service and into speaking out about inequality and the need for Latinos to be able to access the GI Bill and equal standing. And so, in fact, a number of those people, one of the people featured in the exhibit is, for example, Joe Bernal, a number of those people got into public service and worked to change policy to make a more equitable society.
Well, take us a little bit through how you are able to use this really beautiful space, this converted home that is the MACRI Visitor Center, how you were able to work with the exhibit to make sure that everything was kind of where you wanted it to be.
It just happened that we already had in our permanent collection a number of things related to military service. In particular, as I mentioned, after World War II, Latinos come back home and they want to figure out how do we extend all of the civil rights that we were defending abroad to Latinos back at home. And so, for example, you have the creation of the American GI Forum down in Corpus Christi by Dr. Hector P. Garcia. We have in our permanent collection an American GI Forum hat, so we've got that on display here. We have items in another case that are related to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights hearings that were held here in San Antonio in the late 60s, but it is that World War II generation that started pushing for more public conversation about how we had not quite lived up to the promise of a more equal union. And so this was, I think, a step towards what we would eventually have in the 60s. So we've got some of that on display. We also have items belonging to Alonzo Perales, who was a World War II veteran himself and the founder of LULAC. And so we have his desk and a portrait of him, some of his law books on display. So he's another important World War II veteran. This exhibit just really tied in beautifully to things we already had in the collection, and we were able to display them on some easels that we have. The traveling exhibit is itself some large, oversized posters, about a dozen of them. So we posted most of them on easels that we had, and then a few of them we put up on the wall in one thematic area, which focuses specifically on women, Latinas, during World War II. And then we also added our own area where you can share your own story about how military service has impacted you and your family.
Sarah Zenaida Gould is executive director of the Mexican-American Civil Rights Institute in San Antonio. Macri is hosting the traveling panel exhibit, Images of Valor, U.S. Latinos and Latinas of World War II. When we come back, up to 500,000 Latinos served in the Second World War.
Latinos have participated in every U.S. military battle since the American Revolution. It's not a surprise that so many Latinos were ready to serve and step up during World War II.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Latinos have long fought in wars in service to the U.S. Many have been lauded as war heroes, like Marcelino Serna, who barely escaped death in the First World War to become the most decorated Texan in that conflict, or Roy Benavides, who nearly paralyzed by a landmine in Vietnam, forced himself back into service, where he found himself back on the front lines, barely surviving 37 severe wounds during an extraction mission. Some Texas Latinos who served during World War II found ways to serve after the war. Joe Bernal enlisted in the Army fresh out of high school and served as an infantryman in the Pacific. He took advantage of the GI Bill, earned his bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees, became a teacher, and later served in the state legislature. Hector P. Garcia was a medical doctor who served in Europe and North Africa during the war. He founded the American GI Forum. The American GI Forum was another important outgrowth from the war. It was a veterans' rights and advocacy organization that worked on behalf of Mexican-American veterans with employment, education, medical treatment, and civil rights. The stories of these people and organizations are told in the traveling exhibit, Images of Valor, U.S. Latinos and Latinas of World War II, temporarily housed at the Mexican-American Civil Rights Institute in San Antonio, where we're talking with Macri's executive director, Sarah Zenaida Gould. Gould says the traveling panel exhibit explores the impact Latino World War II veterans have made on language, citizenship, civil rights, and public service.
The exhibit is arranged thematically. It starts out with a conversation about citizenship and how citizenship is something that people wanted and wanted to express their patriotism to their home country through participating in the war. Now, that's not to say that everybody was necessarily thrilled about being drafted, but we know that a number of people volunteered or they were ready to receive that draft notification. And just to add, you know, Latinos have participated in every U.S. military battle since the American Revolution. It's not a surprise that so many Latinos were ready to serve and step up during World War II. There's also a section about language and the way that language impacted participation in World War II. A number of Mexican Americans in the 1940s would have had Spanish as their first language. And so you did have a need, actually, in World War II for there to be bilingual soldiers. They were, of course, all over Europe, including in Spain. You did have some regiments where you had Spanish language soldiers, and then you had some where they were just a handful of people within the regiment who spoke Spanish. So language was important, and they did need that. Just here on the home front, for example, and this is not in this exhibit, but it was in the previous exhibit we had here about Alonso Perales. Alonso Perales did really well, in a sense, during World War II because of his bilingual skills. He was able to do a lot of translating for officers, and so he was able to put that specialized knowledge to service of the United States. So language was really important. There's also a section about rural to urban migration. Certainly during and after the Great Depression, you see a lot of movement of people from farmlands into urban areas. And in particular, and this is even true in my family, World War II opened up urban jobs for people who had primarily been migrant farm workers. And so you start to see more people who had been working in the fields moving into these city jobs that are now opened up because so many people have gone off to military service. So there's a section about that. I mentioned Joe Bernal. I want to just point out that he gets his own poster in this exhibit. He's somebody who went off to war full of patriotism, full of pride in the United States, and comes back and sees that there is segregation, that there is unequal access to education back home in San Antonio, and he wants to do something about it, and he gets involved in politics to make changes for that. And he had a very successful career, not only as an elected official, but also as a school leader. And so there's a whole section on him and his work to try to end racial segregation in schools. He was also involved, of course, in the creation of University of Texas at San Antonio. There's another section on education. That GI Bill was so important for all Americans who had the opportunity to take advantage of it, but certainly for Mexican Americans and other Latinos for whom, you know, in the 1940s, the average Mexican American dropped out of school in seventh grade. So being able to get that advanced education really meant getting to advance economically, get out of some of these lower wage jobs, and create opportunity then, of course, for their children and their grandchildren. So huge, huge way to step into a more competitive workforce. Of course, there's a section on civil rights, and in there we've got conversation about how people who would now find themselves not only a veteran, but now maybe a veteran with a college degree, they're really looking for how do we improve the conditions for our entire community and how do we make changes that will transform how Mexican Americans are seen and treated in this country. So there's a section on that, and that section focuses on someone named Ed Idar, who was from Laredo. He has a sister who some of your listeners may be familiar with, Jovita Idar. She was, of course, also from Laredo, but then moved to San Antonio after she married and spent the rest of her life here in San Antonio. And she wouldn't have known it, but many years later, she became the first Tejana featured on a U.S. quarter. And then there's, of course, a section on patriotism and identity. As I said before, Latinos have participated in every U.S. war since the American Revolution. We are people who have long been patriotic and made, in many cases, the choice to stay here. Right after 1848, we could have decided, no, I want to stay in Mexico. I'm going to head further south. But no, people stayed here. And in fact, people came here drawn by the promise of our American democracy and committed to that idea of what it means to be an American. So there's a section about that and about how Latinos were proud to serve and served very bravely and valiantly. And then, of course, there's a section about all of the military honors that Latinos earned during World War II. Here in Texas, if you have the opportunity to go to the state capitol, there's a pretty neat exhibit at the state capitol about Texans who have received the Medal of Honor. When you look at the photos and the names, what you'll notice is that quite a few of them have Spanish surnames. Quite a few of them have, you know, tan, brown skin. We really have served with honor, with distinction in the military for a long time. And then finally, there's a three-part section that's all about the ladies. It's all about Latinas. All about Latinas and our participation. So here on the home front, of course, women were so important to stepping up and filling jobs that were opened up when men left for service. And so you have a lot of Latinas serving in civil service jobs during the war, jobs that had previously not been available to women of color. And in some cases, after the war, those women continued on in government jobs. So that was really a big opportunity for women to increase their earning potential while also serving the country. As you probably know, here in San Antonio, we sometimes refer to some of these women who were at the bases as Kelly's Katies, but they were Latina Kelly's Katies too. And then there's also a section about women actually in the service. So, you know, women who joined the WACs and, you know, people who learned how to fly planes. So there are some women who served and went overseas. There's a section here that talks about a group of women who were serving in North Africa. This woman, Rafaela Esquivel, from here in San Antonio, was part of that group of women who were serving in the Army Nurse Corps over in North Africa. And then, of course, some of them were working at the bases, not just in office jobs, but actually there's a section here about a woman who served as a mechanic here in San Antonio.
So Rosie the Riveter types.
Rosie the Riveter types, exactly. So we do have a number of women who are working these wartime jobs at the bases, including here in San Antonio. These are women who have the opportunity now to increase their earning power, because for so many of these women, if you think about what kinds of jobs were available to them before, we're talking about a lot of domestic work, and we're talking about a lot of very low-paying work. That we had the garment industry here, we had cigar factories, we had a lot of folks working in other people's homes, cleaning, taking care of children. You know, these are honorable jobs, but low paying. And so these military jobs had much better pay. And then finally, we did add a little section where people could add their own stories, and people have been writing comments about their own families' participation in the military. Military and Latinos, we have a long relationship. And not only do you see the way that military has its arms in all aspects of life, but I hope that you also will see the parallels between what Latinos did and achieved through their military service and what other Americans have too. Because I think what's just really important here is to recognize that Latinos, Mexicans, we are Americans, and we have done the same work as other Americans. And I know this is a point that African Americans have long also sought to get across, but I think this exhibit does a good job of explaining that, you know, these are proud Americans who have served their country and who, once that service ended, continued to contribute to this country.
And I know that there are many veterans still who are Latino who served valiantly. They went through hell, essentially, and they have not quite yet been honored the way they should have.
Absolutely. And I'm going to focus on this as a historian because that's my expertise. Yes. But it has been a struggle to have some of our really impressive veterans get the same recognition that other folks who maybe have achieved similar things or lived through similar things. I want to point out one veteran from here in Serna. A group of people have been trying to get him the Medal of Honor for a number of years. Hopefully that will happen, but just what he went through is just wild. And he did not give up. He kept going, and he saved many lives in the process of being shot multiple times. And he does have a number of awards, but that Medal of Honor seems to be glaringly missing. Another great example would be Roy Benavidez. I mean, how he survived, I don't know, but he did. And it took years for him to finally get official recognition for what he lived through and the fact that he saved so many people in the process. So we know that it's still a bit of a struggle to get some of that recognition for just really people going above and beyond for their country. So hopefully we're getting to a point to better recognize that. I will just say we had a reception here for this exhibit, and somebody was asking me something about women, and I pulled out my phone so that I could show them a website about Kelly's Katies, and unfortunately it had been erased. Mm. Yeah, so we have some work to do.
Sarah Zenaida Gould is executive director of the Mexican-American Civil Rights Institute in San Antonio. We're talking about the traveling exhibit, Images of Valor, U.S. Latinos and Latinas of World War II. Images of Valor is on display at the Macri Visitor Center in San Antonio through June 5th. The panel exhibit is curated by the Voces Oral History Center at the University of Texas at Austin and presented in partnership with Humanities Texas. The touring exhibit will make its next stop at Lone Star College in Houston in September. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marian Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.